Okay, I'll just go through the instructions once before we get started. If you don't have that email and you just like to point your web browser directly to the notes for today's conference, you can do so by pointing to mecgroups.com/MEC_research_log. And we'll ask you to refresh that page a few times throughout the conference as we add some tables and some other notes. Also, if you're having any trouble hearing, you can press *4, which will increase the volume of your line. And you can press *6 to mute your line, which is useful if you're in a noisy room. And at this time, I'd like to introduce Dr. Flint McLaughlin, who will be the primary speaker for today's conference. Dr. McLaughlin.
Yes, all right. It's pleasure to be here with everyone again. And Brian, go ahead and talk about the upcoming conferences for us. And,
okay.
And just to kind of let them know what's coming up in terms of research briefs and upcoming conferences, if you have that information available.
Sure. We have a conference scheduled for August 4th on the Configurator, which is a basically a shopping cart tool that helps put your visitors in the right pathway to kind of help increase your ROI. And I'm sure we'll make a very much clearer.
We use the Configurator. I'll jump in and say with, to achieve conversion ratios over a conversion rate of over 10% in our test. So, right, it's a very key report. And keep going, Brian.
Okay, sure. On the 25th of August, we have the long copy versus short copy clinic, which was actually scheduled from today. And on September 8th, we've scheduled how to use dynamic pages on your website, how to effectively use them with search engines, et cetera. And on September 22nd, we have a clinic on avoiding unprofitable pay-per-click search engine campaigns.
I might, can I comment on that also for just a moment, gentlemen? As we keep reviewing pay-per-click campaigns across the net, what we're discovering is that people are losing money right and left and don't recognize it. Even companies whose pay-per-click campaigns are paying overall are losing lots of money in sections and campaigns because of not knowing really the intelligent math behind what Google and Overture does. And so we're going to help you keep from losing money in your pay-per-click campaigns with that report and talk about what we've discovered from reviewing so many different research partners' pay-per-click campaigns. Brian, you might just quickly... we have six more briefs being prepared for you guys. You can go down that list with them quickly, Brian, and then we'll get right into the main event.
Okay. Well, the next brief you'll get, obviously, is the brief that we'll be going over today, the Amazon Stores brief. And then the following one will be increasing customer value with email. And then approximately on August 19th, we'll have the brief on the Configurator. And on the 26th of August, we'll have... we'll be reviewing eBay's new pay-per-click service. On September 2nd, we'll have the long copy versus short copy brief. And on September 16th, we'll have the dynamic pages brief. I believe that's all of them.
The dynamic page brief is real critical. We've discovered a way to get your dynamic pages indexed on Google and these major engines. So you'll find this a very, very helpful report based on some experiments that we've done. Well, we have the research partners achieving very high page rank, and they're using dynamic pages on their sites. I think easy advertising after that. And Brian, I'm going to go from here.
Okay.
Okay. Is that all? Is there anything else?
That was an echo. That wasn't me. Sorry.
Oh. All right. So, sound check. Can you hear me clearly, Brian?
Yeah, there's a slight echo. If anyone has speakerphone on, if they could mute their line by pressing *6, that would be helpful.
Yes, that might be better. All right, so we're going to proceed. I do want to point out that coming up in September, the date of that I don't have in front of me, but I believe it's around the 3rd. Let's get the exact date. It's not in my notes. Is that the 16th and 17th, Brian?
Sorry, for which...
our actual conference at Universal Studios in Orlando. And if you've not registered for that yet, please, some of you would like to meet. And secondly, it would be very helpful for you to come in and work with us hands-on in kind of a hands-on clinic in a series of experiments that are designed to help you optimize your pay-per-click offering, optimize your SEO work, optimize your site's conversion ratio in your email. We're going to be having research partners there who have actually grown their companies dramatically. Craig Calder from the New York Times, who grew his, basically achieved his 12-month goal in his subscription offering in 60 days for the research project that we did. And since we first announced the conference, Stephen Weinkoop, who is the head of the SQL Server Worldwide Users Group, his group has now surpassed what was number one, and they're now the largest in the world. And they are, again, our research partner, and we're going to talk about how we optimize those processes. And a number of real practical experts who are working CEOs who have seen their companies grow dramatically are going to be with us. And on Thursday night, we pay for this dinner, but you're going to be able to kind of select the table you want to sit with and sit at. And at each table, there will only be five people, and you'll get to sit down with one of these speakers and just really apply his brain and get information from them. And then all day Friday is going to be kind of a hands-on active session. We're actually going to be reflecting real-time experiments on a screen so that you can see as the data comes in. And so that's coming up in November, and Brian will refresh in a little bit, if it's not there now, your notes with a link to the page for that so that you can participate. You don't have much time left in order to get in that event. September. So you are going to want to get over there if you're interested fairly soon and reserve your place. So then, topic this afternoon is Amazon's OLS stores. And the real questions are the new Amazon OLS stores a viable marketing tool? Some of you may not know what they are. Different than Z-Shops. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. But what is that difference? And what costs are involved in with running a store on Amazon, and how hard is it to set one up? And we're going to address those issues, and we'll begin with what is the potential of a new Amazon OLS store. OLS stands for Offer Listing Service, and it's part of Amazon.com's Pro Merchant Program. OLS stores are currently invite-only or invitation-only. However, we have spoken to a representative at Amazon who has said that if we recommend a party, they can get in. By the way, we have no this always goes without saying, but just so you know, we get no affiliate commission from Amazon or no money from Amazon, and so this is not a commercial for them. And if we recommend you for them, it'll simply be as a service to our readers. It will not be because Amazon gives us any credit or money for it. But the bottom line is we've spoken to them because you can't normally get in, and they will accept applications from our readers in certain categories, and we've included information on how to do that at the end of this report, which will be released in writing, and also the audio of this conference will be released. However, if you're interested in getting in on that, kind of listen to this report and then email us, and you can use support@marketingexperiments.com. if you'd like, or you can email Brian if you have his address, but support, and that will go to us, and we'll help you get in touch with Amazon, after we understand a little bit here. So the first question is it even worth doing any of that? So to test the effectiveness of these stores, we set up a test site and measure the results over the first 31 days. Now, we're going to refresh a chart for you and let you see what we discovered. Mind you, this is just a tiny micro-test. The actual research partner we worked with, his business has grown more than 300% since the first of the year, and we've been growing in a number of different areas with our tests. This is an area that we think is going to contribute, based on our experiments now, dramatically, but before we committed significant resources, we ran a tiny micro-test. That's what you're going to see now. 31 days of orders. If you refresh your notes, you should see a chart come. Okay? And that's 27 orders, and then the total revenue from those orders at an average order of $74.01. His profit margins at 40%. He generated $799.28, and in doing so, his fees, as you can see, rather reasonable, just $50 plus the 15% Amazon commission, which is pretty high. But profit after fees was still there, and in fact, what you need to understand is that after Amazon's fees, he achieved a ROI, return on investment, of 128.54%. Mind you, that's the bottom line. It's how much money you make and how much money you invested. And for all of our talk about conversion, please bear in mind something. Conversion rate itself is not the most important number. Because the reality is, if you increase the significant traffic from multiple channels, you may see conversion rate go down. But if you see revenue go up, then you've achieved what typically is the goal of an online enterprise. So conversion is extremely important. But don't be so proud of your conversion ratio that you're not afraid to dilute it when you actually see that your actual net revenue is going to increase. In this case, with this little micro test, which is how we work, we run a series of these, what we see is quite promising, and especially as compared to Amazon's normal offering, which is these shops. That's 128% return on investment. You can't touch that in the average marketplace anywhere else today. And we think that with more products and more attention, this is going to be a strong opportunity for this research partner. It is tests like these that have made him grow so dramatically in a number of key areas. And what we want to do now is kind of move to the next step and kind of help you understand what this new offering is from Amazon and how to apply it most effectively. So to do that, I want to answer another question. Is that how do the new Amazon stores differ from Z Shops or the old ones? And we've created a side-by-side comparison chart showing the difference between the new Amazon OLS stores and the older Z Shops, and we're going to reflect that now in your notes. So, Brian, feel free to refresh that.
Table should be there now.
If you check your notes now and refresh your pages, you should see the new table. And both sites have the online storefront. Both sites have the merchant pro fee. Both sites list up to 40,000 products. Both have commissions from 6 to 15%. And both offer products shown in the Z-Shop checks of Amazon. So this new store offers products in the same section. But that's where the changes begin. Number one, products shown as an alternative to Amazon products. Would you explain, in a minute we're going to look at one of these stores, but Jimmy, would you explain that line to them, the difference between the two?
Absolutely. The original, if you have or have seen a current Amazon Z Shop that is not an OLS store, most of the Z Shop's products are shown as a subset or an additional offering to the primary Amazon product that they carry directly. Now, there's the Z Shops. If it's just a standard Z Shops, then your products are only in the Z Shop section of Amazon. So if you go to Amazon.com, the top left of search, there's a drop-down box that lets you choose Z Shops, and that would be the only way to find it. Now, the next thing that Amazon did is they offered Marketplace, which is a way that if you had a product that matched up exactly with an Amazon product, this is where you'd be a subset product of Amazon. You'd be this 1, 2, 3, 4, fifth or sixth line on this chart, where it would be a subset. It wouldn't be the same type of exposure as Amazon. Now, what happens in the new store is that if you have the same exact product or your own unique product, your listing will be identical to Amazon in the same exact search results. There is no differentiation between the two listings. So your exposure on Amazon is much greater, which we believe is one of the main reasons that you will get a higher return and better exposure and better numbers with an OLS store compared to Amazon Z Shops or just a Z Shop with marketplace matchups.
Excellent. So these products are shown in your regular search results on Amazon in the new store, which is very important. They're shown in the marketplace, even if it's not a direct match. They allow unique pages and content, which you cannot get with Z-Shops, better product presentation and storefront, and more exposure than the standard Z-Shop. So what you need to understand is the new Amazon stores feature a number of improvements over the old version, and in the old store, products are only known as the marketplace if they are matched in Amazon's products. Now, there's some other major differences, and I'm going to begin to elaborate on those. But as I'm doing that, I'm going to let us go to the links that Jimmy's going to kind of guide us through this process. Jimmy ran this experiment. This is Jimmy Ellis. Some of you, if you're new, you might not know him. Jimmy was a research partner himself, who worked with us on the comparison search engine side in particular. Jimmy was very effective as a partner with us, and with the report that we did on comparison search engines, he was very involved in the development of that, but he was just a research partner at that time. Did over $30 million in sales in a 12-month period using primarily the comparison search engines with the information in that report. And eventually, he came to work full-time with our group, and he's an expert in these alternative feeds and comparison engines. And so we have him on the phone with us right now. He's the one who conducted this experiment, and he's going to be talking with you through the screenshots, helping you understand kind of the difference between this with a visual. And while he's doing that, I guess I'll summarize. Jimmy, you want me to summarize these four key points first, or do you want to go to the screenshots now?
I'll just go to the screenshots real quick, and then you can run through the points.
Do it. All right.
Basically, the easiest way to do it, unfortunately, they're not necessarily in order, but let me just walk you through the links. Under the URL section of your notes, if you look at point three, just click on that link to an image. And basically, you know, it doesn't look like much, but it tells a lot. Basically, these are two links to HP systems. They're not the exact same system, but the difference is one is an Amazon carried product direct link. This is a product that they only have, which has a 16 byte, and this was in a search result. So in this search result, you see the Amazon product that they carry directly on top, and 17 is an Amazon OLS store product search result. And as you can see, the listings are identical. If you were to do this with a current Amazon store or even an Amazon store with Marketplace, you do not get your own separate search result. So you'd only get your listings when a product matched up with Amazon. And once you click through on this product or went to the details, you would see your subset listing for Z Shops, or with the new and used that you see there. You know, used products will also show up for Z Shops on some of the primary search results. But you know, for the most part, it's few and far between. When I talked to our representative over at Amazon that was giving me more detailed information of exactly how the program worked, is that the OLS stores, you have guaranteed search results for all of your products, whereas the current Z Shops, even when your products load up as a subset, it's not going to be on every search or for every product that you have in your store. They just kind of sequence the products in and out, and there's pretty much no guarantees and no consistency in the listings. So that was the two products. Now, if you go to the product pages, if you go back and go to those URLs again, you go to link number two, that is the Amazon product listing. And what you'll see is we have the big yellow arrow, and it is showing you basically it has Amazon.com equals low prices, and basically this is an Amazon direct product. So this is their standard listing. And now if you go back to the URLs and you click on link four, this is the new Amazon OLS store listing. And what you will see is that is the exact same style, exact same weight, exact same design as the Amazon listing. And what you'll notice is they have a link there to JNR Music and Computer World. That is the only way that you know that this is not an Amazon product that's carried directly. So, you know, in addition to the links, the exposure and the search results, you also get the same page weight and the same consideration when you go to the product details page. Let me see here. And then I also have a link to, if you go back and click on link number one, you will see the product page of a standard Z Shop. And so you can compare those links on your own, open a couple at the same time, and just look at the difference between the pages. The new pages are a much stronger page. They're much more professional, and I think the results that any of you might see would be much stronger. That's about it for the those pages right there.
Okay, all right.
Go ahead, Flint.
Now, there's a few additional major differences. With the original Z Shops, you can only find products by searching in the Z Shops section itself. Occasionally, Z Shop products are listed as a secondary offering to a product carried by Amazon. And two, with the original Z Shops on Amazon's marketplace, you'll be able to list your products only if your products match up exactly with the product Amazon carries directly. Your offer is still a secondary offer. With the new OLS stores, your products are listed identical to and alongside of Amazon's products. We've said this, I think. I'm going to make sure I'm clear about it. But if Amazon does not carry the product, it will be added to their database, listed in search results, and will use the content you provide on the product pages. So the OLS store greatly improves your exposure on Amazon, and it is similar to Amazon selling the product and your company becoming almost the fulfillment center. So, having said that, let me give you an update. This came to me while literally you were on the phone, and it's not in my notes. I have the results in right now for the first 21 days of the second test with this product offering. So now I'm looking at the same exact details that we provided you before in the earlier, the first chart, and it appears that we're on track today on the 21st of the month to surpass sales for the full month that we did last month with this micro test. I believe the product offering is identical, but the revenue is greater. Average orders jumped up to $75.76, slightly higher than 74. And so, you know, it looks like we're two-thirds of the way or maybe, we're two-thirds of the way through the month, and we've already surpassed last month's numbers. And you recall that the ROI last month was 129%. So that's promising and interesting, and we'll be continually tracking this. We'll track it for the next 6 months, and as we continue to expand it and refine how to do this.
Another factor. This is Jimmy again. Another factor that's going to contribute to their growth is that they have not established a good rating yet, since their store has just only been on the Amazon site, you know, for the past couple months. So when they do have a good rating and they get a good quantity of ratings and a good star rating on Amazon, their conversion should increase and their number of sales should increase without having to increase the number of products or make any changes to the store.
That reminds me, and I'm just going to talk directly to one of my staff about this. Brian, you and I discussed doing a research report on the impact of ratings. And
right.
I'd like you to add that to our report calendar. I don't mean the current 6 weeks, but let's get that in play. I want to do the actual data on that, okay?
Okay.
Ratings have become more and more significant on the internet, and in real-time feedback, they can make all the difference, and customer service is now a marketing expense because it reflects on your rating, which reflects on your sales, which reflects on your revenue. So we need to study that in detail and talk to you about not only the impact of ratings, but what are all the different things you can do. We found some unique ways to, believe it or not, influence your ratings even when you're not supposed to be able to influence your ratings, and incentives that you provide customers, et cetera. So, you know, we'll talk about that in a future report. And then let me, if I can, just deviate from my next two questions, because we're going to come to two questions in just a moment. What are the costs involved with setting up an Amazon store? And how difficult is it, which is a very critical one. And then what are the seven most important points to keep in mind when setting up this new store system? So you're going to get those three things from us in a few moments. But before we get to that, may I point out for you that when you begin to scale up so that you've taken advantage of all your pay-per-click traffic and you reach out thinking, how do I keep growing my company, you start running out of options fast on the internet. One of the reasons really big players have hesitated going on the net as a primary sales channel is that you can't begin to get the scale that you can get offline yet from most companies. And I'm talking about, you know, the scale is dependent on the product category, but there's a limitation in terms of how much available traffic you can capture to sell your products. What do you do? I think we should, in the future, probably do a research report on what to do when you've scaled out the search engines. What are your options? But several things happen. I just had a conference today with one of my research partners, a CEO, and a representative that we have in London who is rolling out companies across the international market. And if you need help with that, you may want to email us. But the reality is sometimes you have to go into the other marketplaces, which is quite difficult if you're a retailer. But there is a way to do it. And we currently ourselves are operating in multiple countries. And 2 months ago, I think we opened up Ireland, and we're in Britain and Germany and France, and, you know, we're learning how to operate in Europe right now to achieve. There's whole search engines out there that you've never touched, that you don't know about, that are specific engines you can get in, and if you know how to solve the credit card issue, there's money to be made in those international markets. But in addition to that, before you go overseas, you need to make sure that you've already opened up your stores everywhere you can, the branches of your store. Now, why this is so critical for you is because in an offline brick-and-mortar world, to open up a new store requires an investment ranging on average of $500,000 to $2 million. In the Internet, it is an investment ranging from $500 to $2,000. Please listen and hear that number. That's not a mistake. Think of the difference between $500 to $2,000 and $500,000 to $2 million. For that small amount of money, you can encounter your people in new shopping channels, and it is far easier to take your products to the traffic than it is to get your traffic to the products. This is why you can't afford to overlook little places like Amazon C-Shop. This is why we're constantly researching out new areas. There is opportunity for you in these niche sites where traffic is already there. And now Yahoo, committing what I think is a strategic error, has opened up its feed system. It doesn't have to be strategic error. I know how they can fix it, and perhaps they will. And with the purchase of Overture, they're moving in that direction. But you don't need to be a Yahoo store anymore to get a Yahoo feed. We've already taught on that in a previous report. That's a critical piece of information for you. And just like Yahoo, I believe in the next 24 months, and this is just a prediction you can put down, in the next 24 months, a big part of your expertise as a retailer and your growth is going to be dependent on your ability to harness and use feeds. Product feeds, that is, getting your products easily fed into other systems, is going to be a key. It's a new level of sophistication that's required, but it pays dividends, it has a great return on investment, and often, literally, you can give, take Jimmy who's working with us right now, you can give Jimmy the right product offering, give us 60 days, and we'll sell $1 million of it a month. If your product's the right product, we know, and we create the right feed and put it in the right areas, we'll sell $1 million a month in 60 days, and we'll pump that volume up over $2 million a month. Now, trick is it has to be the right volume, and you have to systematically set up the feeds, and a lot of the relationships are critical with each of one of these groups, like BizRate, and some of them are really difficult to work with, like Price Grabber or Price Watch.
Price Watch.
Price Watch can be specifically, it's a manual. It's very difficult, and you can't ever reach anybody over there, and it's almost all via email, but it'll be one of your highest converting comparison search engines done correctly. Many of you on this phone may not have the right product offering for that, so I'm not trying to get you excited. I'm trying to point out that what else can you do on the Internet where you can suddenly sell $1 million worth of product? Now, the only thing that would keep you us from being able to achieve that correctly is it depends on how fast you can get that rating. But we know how to do this. Jimmy's done it before. Our teams have worked through this process, and my point is don't neglect the feeds. They're going to be a key to you becoming getting your company to the next level. So I go back now. What are the costs involved with setting up an Amazon store? I'm moving right into the report again. I'm on question 3, and here's some answers. Costs involved in setting up your Amazon OLS store are the same as a standard Z-Shop. You must have a Merchant Pro account, which lets you use a data feed to load your products. There's a fee of $39.99 for this level of service. Additionally, there's a 6 to 15% commission per sale. While 15% sounds quite steep, note that it does include the cost of merchant processing, which for most merchants runs about 3%, and for some more than that, after chargebacks and service fees, and this brings the maximum total commission down to about 12%. And while not every merchant can afford to pay a 12% commission, those who can will find the greatest success if they are able to fill up their stores with as many products as possible. And if you think you can't afford to pay a 12% commission, ask yourself how much you're paying in that percentage right now in Overture or Google. And you'll be surprised. You may find that the Amazon feed is less money than what your pay-per-click engines are costing you. So there is a cost to sale, and it's very interesting for you to know precisely what that number is, and the good retailers do so. All right, so moving right along. While not every merchant can afford to pay the – well, let me go to this key point. Since Yahoo stores switched from a commission-based service to a pay-per-click service, Amazon is one of the only performance-based marketing options left for online marketers, besides setting up an affiliate program. But if your profit exceeds the 12% commission and the $49 a month fee, you'll be able to crank up your Amazon volume with a positive ROI on every sale. Now, what I've said right now is quite positive. And I'm going to remind you that we don't get paid anything from Amazon, because I have some readers who somehow think, and I think it's because of the way a lot of e-zines work, that, you know, even when I say that, they question us. We refuse to take any money, and Amazon's not offering any anyway. But number four is, how difficult is it to set up an Amazon store? And I want to tell you that for all the bright things I've just said, it's pretty difficult, particularly in Amazon, to get the feed right. And Aaron, who set up the feeds with Jimmy on this test, I don't want to discourage you, but neither do I want to give you all roses, and I just want to tell you what works and what the truth is about the things. And we found the feed was pretty difficult, but we got it done. Aaron, you want to just comment for a minute on what you found was the most difficult part of getting the feed set up?
Sure. First, the feed that they use uses many other characters that normal comparison shopping engines don't use. Things such as keywords, such as
you've got some great calculations. What is it?
Well, reference when we jumped on this project, we had set up original Amazon Z shops, and I think the feed system, you know, they have columns, and it's about 12. I think it's around 12 columns, and you can pretty much generate an entire Amazon Z shop. With the new feed that they sent over, they give you a template. And when we received the template for this test store, I believe there were 67 or 69 possible columns of information.
So picture a spreadsheet with 69 columns, because you can, you know, a lot of feeds are prepared within a spreadsheet for a CSV format or some type of text delimited format. And the difference between 12 columns and 60 columns, if, for those of you that might not know what he's saying when he talks about those categories, go ahead, Jimmy.
Yeah, basically it's about five times as much potential information that would be needed to create the same type of store, and it's based on the enhancements that Amazon has made by being able to enlist your product details, by putting you in their search results. They enable you to use keywords, by using different shipping options and promotions. You can all include this stuff in the feed or the Excel spreadsheet form that they provide as a template. And what the difficulty extends to things that are not in, if you, a Yahoo store feed, you could almost create a traditional Z shop with an Amazon with a Yahoo store feed. With the new feed system, that is not you cannot do that, because there are columns and information that is not provided in your Yahoo store feed. So that's an easy analogy if you're Yahoo.
Now, Aaron, I didn't mean to cut you off there. I was just giving you a hard time. Do you have anything to add to that in terms of the difficulties?
Well, besides the fact that there's so many other categories, it also comes into Amazon is very finicky about the feeds that they accept, i.e., they may need hours and minutes, but not accept seconds or days into areas such as how fast can you or lead time to ship or how fast do you process. That said, in their instructions, a lot of times they do not go through the information that they need and their little criteria. So while they may only be willing to accept minutes and hours and not days and seconds, they aren't going to tell you that until after you submit the feed, and then they'll give you an error or a automatically generated error report, and in the error report it may identify some of these things.
Yeah.
So their instructions are not as intuitive as they should be.
Okay, so that's an insight on feeds. It was a bit difficult. We set it up, proved to be worthwhile, but you know, you may experience some difficulties. Amazon's instructions are set up. We have a screenshot of their instructions and a text file data feed for a text file data feed here at the link. What number link is that, Brian?
I don't think we have that in there.
Okay, let's add that to the notes. We'll add it to your links in just a moment. Okay, so it will be, what link number will it be, Brian?
It will be 6.
Link 6 in just a few moments will be appearing in your notes if you refresh, and you'll see the instructions. I'm going to move to the last critical question, and that is, what are the 7 most important points to keep in mind when setting up an Amazon store? The first one seems quite obvious, but we're amazed over and over again by people who don't calculate this carefully. Pay very close attention to your profit margin. The second one is schedule a minimum of 2 weeks to build your data feed and customize your store before it officially launches. Now, when we say customize your store, Jimmy explained to you which store. You're talking about their Amazon store.
Yes, Amazon store.
Yeah, so explain that for just a moment to them, okay?
Sure. You not only have your regular products, but there are shipping options and service options and service information. You can also load up logos and color schemes into the new stores that are more robust than the original Amazon Z Shop. And you can also add additional offers. You can do special shipping offers. You can do free shipping offers. There's just a lot of things that even if you don't want to put an offer, that you still have to go in that section and select what you want to do, either no offer or I want to do this offer, or just little details that you have to cover and make sure you're covering all the bases. So when your store is complete, when the customer sees your listings, that everything is there, that they need to make a purchasing decision. And a lot of those sections are requirements that Amazon has before they will make your feed live.
Now, I'd like to also suggest this to our team. Let's please prepare for these guys with a, let's please prepare for them by having a sample feed Excel spreadsheet that we can let them look at. We'll not give that to you now, but when we release the report, we'll give you a link to a sample spreadsheet on our site and the template, and you guys can see how we set it up. And that'll give you something that will help you to understand or what it is you're going to need to have if you try this particular Amazon offering. So add that, gentlemen, to our task, if you would. Let me give you another point. Keep the Amazon support email addresses and phone numbers convenient, because you're going to have questions, and it'll be good to have that ready. And also, with all Amazon stores, prepare to process the orders initially, at least manually, unless you have the development resources to affect an automation, which is also very, very important. So all products, and this is critical, must include pictures, or they will they'll not be listed. So if you're going to go there, you're going to have to use the products that you have photographs for. And number 6, and this is very critical, and this matters a great deal, not just in Amazon, but in your site, and it's something that we see over and over again in testing when we are looking at conversion ratios on various websites. Include as much content as possible regarding your products to improve relevance in the Amazon search results. It helps in search results, but it also helps people to identify what's working for, to identify and get the answers they need about their questions. If you'll notice, Amazon itself has added more and more content over the years about the books that it sells and its product offerings. What we've discovered is effective descriptions are detailed product descriptions. And don't be afraid to invest time in getting the right, the most possible information out there that will help somebody make an adequate decision. Help the customer pick up the product in their hands, look at it, understand it, because theoretically, they can't touch that product, but somehow you've got to bridge that, digital barrier. Now, number 7, Jimmy mentioned this, but it's a critical part. Expect an improvement in conversion once you've established a positive rating. The stronger your rating, the better your conversion should be. And so you're going to work really hard and get that rating. Does anyone here, and we should add this to the report, Brian, make sure we add this information in the report that we release. What do you need? How many orders, or what's the criterion for getting your rating on Amazon, Jimmy? Do you know the answer to that?
It's actually just based on customers who have purchased. I'm submitting a rating to Amazon, so it's a little bit more difficult than with comparison engines and other engines to get people, entice them to rate your store. Whereas there's a lot of different strategies that you can use with a standard retail store where they're purchasing on your website. So they're not purchasing on your website, they're purchasing through Amazon, so you don't have confirmation pages and follow-up emails that you can use to get ratings. So you're stuck with the Amazon rating system. So just good old-fashioned a quick delivery is usually your best bet, and doing everything you can to help the customers that might have any difficulties with orders or order processing or anything like that.
Yeah. All right. So to get started selling products on Amazon, there's a link that you should look at. Brian, is that link added to their notes?
Yes, it is. That's number 7, if you refresh the page.
Number 7. All right. You're going to want to go to link number 7, and it'll tell you more information about this. As we mentioned, and I mentioned this for those that logged in late, you can't actually apply there. You have to be invited by Amazon, but you can. They've agreed that if we recommend someone, they'll try to expedite and get you in. So if you're interested, and again, we don't get any money for that, but if you're interested, please email us, and we'll give us your link, URL to your site, so we can look at it, and then we can forward your information to the contact people and put you directly in touch with them, and you can deal directly with them from there on. So. And your email needs to include your email and your name, your phone number, your email address, and, of course, your URL. And you've got to meet 5 criteria, which you may have already read in the notes. You must already have a fully functional website. You must have your own inventory, no drop shippers. You must have a clear understanding of e-commerce. You must be able to manage your OLS store on your own, and your store must fit into one of the following categories. I think those categories are already in your notes, and so I will not read them to you. And I think that literally I am done with this presentation. So do you have any questions for us before we let you go? And have we overwhelmed you with this? Is this something you're familiar with? I know it's a new offering. A lot of people aren't familiar with it, and it doesn't apply for everyone, but we want to make sure that we're giving our publishers information that's helpful, but also our retailers.
I have a question, Tim Frank, Magic
okay.
Marketing.
Yes.
So all these products then are on the Amazon site. So if you just, let's say your product is a pair of Clark's shoes, if you type in Clark's shoes, you'd find your product pop up there then?
Exactly. It would be in the standard results. You don't have to use the drop-down. You type it in, their regular standard search box, and your results will be listed with theirs. Like I said, it's a whole new level of the Amazon search results. I mean, Marketplace usually was definitely a step up from the original Z Shop, because when you have the same product as Amazon, especially if you had a lower price, then you would do well. But if you didn't have a lower price, your conversion was pretty low because most people would buy directly from Amazon. And like I said, now with these new stores, I mean, they literally integrate your product as part of the Amazon system. I'm not sure if you're familiar with Amazon stores, but they have what called ASINs, which is basically unique Amazon numbers, and they actually create ASINs for your pages, which means you having a unique page in Amazon, they can't put their stuff on it. It won't be listed with anybody else's products.
That's very good.
Cool.
It's a major improvement. Also, incidentally, there's a lot of things happening at eBay that we're quietly studying that may be quite if you get the Amazon store working correctly, or if you're looking at Amazon, you may want to pay close attention for information we may release in the future about maximizing the eBay opportunity. There are several things that can be done there, and we're running a series of tests right now. So any other questions? Is this helpful for you guys?
You bet.
Yeah, I think it's great. This is Chris Eves with Cogbox.
Okay.
I'll be looking forward to future sessions on some of the other comparison shopping engines.
Yeah. Okay, well, we rescheduled the long copy versus short copy test because our data set wasn't complete. It's going to be very interesting, and I apologize for rescheduling that clinic, but we don't want to do it until the data is correct. And so you'll hear that soon, and then the rest of the clinics that we've talked about, and check out the conference coming up in September. Thank you. I mean, we really appreciate your trust, and we'll keep working. And if you have ideas for research, send us an email, and we'll look at it. Thank you again. Take care.